true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Cool. Well,
here we are.
Yeah. Woo woo. Woo woo, dumb.
Woo woo. Party on. Woo woo. Here we are recording our podcast, which is entitled All the Answers. punchy.
What's happening with you?
I had opening night last night.
Oh, how was it?
Opening night was last night.
Uh-huh.
Good. It was, you know, we had a couple of previews where a shitload of my people came to, like, first preview, which was a little like, okay, great. Thanks for being a friendly audience for a pretty good show. You know, we definitely had a lot of work and tightened it up and goosed it and pushed it. And our director's pretty demanding and in a good way, but it's like, nope, you guys can do better. Nope. Take it farther. Go deeper. Push it harder. And so we were always like, God, I thought we did it. He's like, well, you can do more. And then we did, you know. Opening night went good. You know, they added more tech to kind of fill in some of the gaps where there was a little dead air and stuff and a little more audio support. And it was just, yeah, it got better. Opening night, solid, as far as I could tell. I think it's a good show. I hope you come see it.
Okay.
After your show closes.
Yeah, I think I can.
You probably can.
Yeah, well, we close this weekend, so.
Yep, and I'm coming to your closing show.
Oh, that's great. Sunday at 6.
I should get a ticket. I'll get a ticket.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Yeah. This is my first sort of day off in forever. I don't know if we talked about this idea. I'll share this cause I know you have some stuff to share. So I'll just get all my shit out the way and then we can move on to some other stuff. Shut up, Cass. I experienced something over the last week that I think is an interesting concept, which is you ever experience the thing where you just like, oh, I don't belong to myself right now.
Say more about that.
Like, I belong to everything else. Like, you know, I'm in rehearsal, my parents are in town, I'm picking people up, I'm driving people. And it's not like a burden, but it's all for everything else. It's all the stuff outside of me. I'm not really the person deciding what's coming or what I want to do. I imagine, you know, even when you were, you know, producing your show and in the depths of it, there was times where you're like, oh, this isn't me anymore. It's just the thing. So rehearsal was very demanding, tech rehearsal, family in town, Rami in town, just trying, you know, just whatever was happening and I was moving pieces around and taking care of it and I was fine. But I realized I hadn't ever stopped to go, hi, Cass, how are you doing?
I gotcha.
That's it. Just that feeling of not belonging to yourself.
That's interesting. I wouldn't frame it that way for myself, but I think I know what you're talking about. I would the belonging, I don't know, but I think I know what you're talking about. Like, when we were in the depths of rehearsal and then getting the show into the space, it was just like there were so many demands on me that for me, I'm such a self-pres 8, though, that I I make so much time and room and I demand so much room to, like, take care of myself around whatever's going on.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just can't not. And I was doing that during then. And even still, it was like, I was anxious when I slept. I was anxious when I woke up. It was very hard to just feel settled and okay.
Yeah.
That's how it happens for me. I do not like that feeling anymore at all.
No, it's hard because we want to make the thing we want to do and you're an 8. So you're very like, I want to do it, take charge and be the thing. But then what that does to you or me as an actor, I'm very excited. You know, I'm starting to work again. I have another show lined up and I might have another one right after that. And that,
yeah,
that's what I want. But then I'm like, oh, but then that means I literally for 6 months straight will have no evenings free.
It's so rough.
And then you're like, oh, is that actually what I want?
Right. Trade-offs, right?
Trade-offs.
Everything has trade-offs.
Yeah. You know, Rami's about to do this show up at Ashland and it's a 5-month commitment. So like, that's
That's their life for 5 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's everything in life comes with you lose this and you gain that. And the question is like, are you willing to lose this to gain that?
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to an episode of Armchair Expert yesterday. And it was Jake Gyllenhaal and Colin Mick something were on. Hold on, I'm going to pull it up. He's a fighter.
Conor McGregor. That's right. Conor McGregor. Yes.
And they, Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor, I guess, remade Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. And
big question there is why? Okay.
Well, it's very popular.
Yeah.
A lot of people love that movie, like a lot, but I hear you. Anyway, they were on together being interviewed and Jake Gyllenhaal was talking about, because they were talking about how incredible Conor McGregor is as a fighter and as a self-promoter. And then the topic came up of what's the thing you love so much that you're willing to put up with all the shit that comes with it. Like there's no getting into a thing you love without there being a ton of shit to deal with.
Right.
So which thing do you love enough to deal with the shit that comes with it? Because like, and for a long time for me, it was this, yeah, it was like acting. I didn't even want my fucking weekends and my nights. Please take them up, you know? Now I'm like, oof. But that, again, that could change again for me. I'm open to that. It could change.
Yeah.
It's right now I'm like, man, I'm in bed by my whole time thing flipped. Like I'm in bed by 9 and I'm up at like 6.
Yeah.
What? That's new in the last year or two. And so anyway, I don't even know what to say about it. It's just change, change, change in my world.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hear you. Like, so I'm imagining that in a big picture way, it feels worth it to deal with that. But then sometimes when it gets granular, you're like, maybe I could take a break.
Yeah.
To balance it.
Yeah.
Is that how it is for you?
I think so. And even like my other jobs, which have had to take a back seat, like I really miss doing Feet First. I actually really love doing that. And I miss those friends and I miss those jobs and I haven't been able to do them. And I feel some regret about that. And I think it's definitely taking a bit of a toll on my relationship with Denise because we just never see each other. Like we went for a walk the other day during the day. And that was, you know, that was romantic time. Was like, let's go for a 1 hour walk. That's how we can see each other. So
are you guys still a romantic couple?
Denise and I?
Mm-hmm.
I would say yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's definitely the nature of our relationship has changed due to a lot of things. Like
mm-hmm.
She moved farther away, so it's not as convenient just to drop in on each other. And
right. That's hard.
Then I started working again. So just our time has like, oh, wait, we don't have the same type of life that merged like we did when we met, which was during pandemic.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
During COVID stuff, we were like, well, our time is whatever we want it to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. There's just so much transition. But I mean, the whole thing is interesting because like so many relationships are in transition right now.
Mm-hmm.
Different kinds, like so many.
Yeah.
And so many businesses and everything is in transition. Pluto did go into Aquarius and that's like a big fucking deal. And I've been getting, this comes back to the thing I was going to say before, which, God, it's just so... Life is so fucking weird. I'll tell a little story and then I'll relate it to this. But I think what I'm wanting to say in an overarching way is just like, just God, big moment of transition in the collective, not just people I know, but like collectively, it's just a huge, huge moment. I sort of am aware of it every single day and like the impact of it and the ways that different people navigate it and don't navigate it and go to sleep around it or ride it or don't ride it. It's just kind of fucking intense right now. Anyway, when I was in Colorado, all the time this thing would happen. I don't know if you remember, but when I got there, I made all these friends really quickly and we had like all this deep spiritual alignment really fast. It was kind of trippy.
Uh-huh.
And two of them and myself, my friends, Karen and Fred, and I we'd be in meditation together, leading some group or doing some woo-woo shit that we were doing. And we'd all get like, oh, we have to go open a portal in Cortez. And we'd all get it. Or like one of us would be like, it feels like we have to go to, you know, Moab. And then one of us would check in and be like, oh, yeah, we have to lay some ley lines. weird, just like a lot of stuff like that, right? And then when I left Colorado, I've had none of that stuff. Oh, that's not true. Except for when I don't know if you remember this, when I like fixed the portal in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. You like showed up in Baltimore because you had to, and or you were there for a different reason, and then you were called to a portal.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, remember the bartender at the hotel I was staying at was like, hi, what do you do? Akashic Records? I do that too. Do you know about the portal here? And I was like, I'm literally working on it an hour ago, just fixing it. And he's like, oh yeah, it's all fucked up. And I was like, what the fuck? Like half the time I'm doing half the shit I'm doing, I'm like, well, either I'm crazy or I'm doing this thing that's like definitely all by myself. And like, there's five people who know about it, maybe, but not this same exact vision of the same woo-woo thing. Anyway, that was really fucking cool. Anyway, I've been working with my partner in crime, Lisa Koenig. Shout out Kinetic Chiropractic on Grand Avenue. If you need chiropractic, she's so much more than a chiropractor. But she and I started to go to her for my own stuff, and it's been really helping me. And she and I like very quickly were like, oh, we're going to work together. And then it's been forming a thing, you know about this. And then Rami has been our guinea pig twice now. And these like incredible multidimensional healings happened with the two of us in the room. And then long story long, yesterday I was with Lisa for a session for myself. And in the middle of it, it was like, you, Katie, can't complete this healing for yourself until you help Lisa with the thing going on with her. So I was like, okay, what's the thing going on? And then she was like, well, it's this, this, and that. And so then I just did my thing and helped her with that. And then lo and behold, my thing shifted. And every time Lisa and I are in the space of expansion and information is coming through and energy is coming through, whatever healing stuff is happening, I keep getting this pull and this awareness to a very specific place on the earth, which is, you'll know this, it's the sort of Tuoro University, Mare Island, Vallejo.
Okay.
In this specific northwest corner of it. And I like, I know, like I'll be there like with my eyes closed on her table, transmitting light into her like anaphylactic shock reaction in her tongue that she's minorly having and she doesn't know why. And the light is moving and working with her thing and meeting her at the original trauma point. And then everything in my field of vision is just that spot.
Have you been there?
Okay, I was there this morning.
What?
So I'm saying we're back on some heavy woo-woo shit right now in Katie Land.
So you got the message, go.
Yeah. And like I said to her in the moment, I was like, I keep getting this when you and I are together. I think we have to go there together, but I'm unclear about like, what am I, you know? So this morning I woke up and everything in me was like, we're going there now. So I got in the car at 7 a.m. with the dog and drove to fucking Mare Island. Which was great because there was no traffic at that hour. Anyway, it's a weird fucking place out there. You ever been out there?
No, let's go sometime. That sounds fun.
Okay.
Let's go on a little, take a field trip.
So weird. Because it's a naval base that's like shut down. So it's like a ghost town. And there's like a total of 50 houses there. There's a very small amount of houses you could live in. Very small. And then I guess recently some Vallejo or some other city bought Mare Island and then fucked a bunch of people out of their homes. And it's like a problem. But anyway, just gathering my thoughts here. There's so many pieces to this puzzle. On the drive, I was asking a ton of questions and realized I had been... Whoa, there go my headphones. Realized I had been like... thinking about the area incorrectly in my first layer of questions. And I was like, do I have to move there? Do I have to get an office there? Are she and I going to work there? No. Then it was like, you guys need to go there. And the two of you together in relationship to the, it's not a portal, vortex, portal, energy field, the energy field there. The three of us, the field, her and me, need to be there to like activate more fully the connection that she and I have that will be the energy draw that pulls the clients into those sessions. A. And B, there's a piece of it that's all the sessions we're going to do as a team are contributing to the collective in a big way, not just to the individual that shows up. To wit, the people who show up, the third person, is always going to be...
Sorry, I'm just laughing at to wit.
Thank you. The third person is always going to be a part of it. In other words, they're getting a lot of personal healing out of it. That's why they're there. But they're also like like they keep showing it to me like only light workers are going to show up, or specific kinds of people that create this triumvirate thing, that the three of us doing that healing session does something for the collective. That's all I have on it so far. Very strange and interesting. So I went there today and I wanted to like feel the vibe and be in the area and get the gist. And one thing that's interesting, I can show you this video, is I get there and there is a goat herd, a herd of goats, a large herd of goats in this penned in area of grass, behind which is this vast expanse of ocean that's like incredible and beautiful. But it's like 20 houses that were built in like the 90s or early 2000s. And then goats.
And people live in them?
There weren't any people there today, but yes, you could tell, yes. But when it's a tiny island and there's only 30 houses or whatever, it's like you're not going to see people at 8 a.m. on a...
Right. They were all still just in their houses.
I guess. I don't know. Anyway, it's a weird place. The energy is like not my favorite. It's like the social personal energy there is very abandoned, sad, abused. Like it's just like a sad vibe. And that, but then there are these goats that were like so alive and eating grass, and Squeezle wanted to play with them. And there was a goat herder, a goat herder.
Yeah.
Was there. Do you know about the goat herd out there?
Well, not there, but I do know that there are some goat herds around, and I think they rent them out to like clear hillsides and stuff. They'll be like, okay, we're going to bring it. And they'll like take a portable fence and put it around an area and then bring the goats and run the goats, and they'll let them just eat all the scrub and all the brush away.
That's what that was, because there was a temporary fence around it with all these signs on
it. So they may have been clearing that area. So they didn't live there, maybe, but they were on loan.
And I couldn't figure it out because there was a trailer and one guy and a gazillion goats. So that must exactly be what it is. He brought his goats. How do you transport that many goats?
I don't know, three at a time, maybe.
There's no way. They have to have some big truck or something.
A gigantic goat truck.
That is so interesting. I wonder where those goats live.
That's wild. While you're describing this, I had the thought like, and maybe it's not there, but now I'm having the exciting idea of doing some remote recording. Like you and me go with like a field recorder and just do a session, do an episode where we're just talking about what we're experiencing there.
That'd be cool. And you could come with Lisa and I when we go and when we create this vortex of whatever the fuck we're
And we'll
creating.
Record that time.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
That could be cool.
Or Dez, if you're available, come and really do a master recording.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. We should, let's talk about that. Let's make that happen.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah. And then there's like all kinds of other shit. My other deep woo-woo thing is, you know, I often talk about, and people ask about, and a lot of people collectively right now get a lot of things in the numbers. People see triple ones or triple fours or, you know, and we all have our different things of like what that means. I am in an upsurge of 305s. I mean, like, every fucking place I put my eyes, there's a 305. It's so trippy. And it'll be places where I'm like, I go here every day. I've never seen those three numbers. It's really tripping me out. A lot everywhere. I kind of would like to sit with and ask about that here today, because I have a certain amount of insight about it, but I have missing pieces about it too. I don't know if that's something you'd be open to.
Yeah. We don't have any questions floating around. We don't have anything on the agenda today. So that'd be great. I love it. That sounds interesting. I'm curious, like, if there's such a mission pull with you and Lisa.
Yeah.
Have you, like, do you guys complete some gates and channels? Have you looked at that?
You know, I have looked at it and I don't see anything yet. I haven't looked that closely.
Nothing remarkable.
Well, not yet, because I've only looked at hers alone and my alone. I haven't looked at us together. But that is a great idea. I should totally do a connection chart reading.
Just curious. That also might help guide you to be like, what upon what lines should we be pursuing this connection?
No, that's a great, great idea. And that is a very good idea. I'll do that next before we meet again, you and us here. That's a good point. I'm just sort of like, the energy's so clear and we're both just like, yep, we're doing this. You, yes. And it's just like, I'm very excited too, because she lives in Tiburon, which if you're not in the Bay Area, or even if you are, is like the bougiest part of the Bay, or maybe the earth.
It is. Yeah, it's the schwanky of the schwank over there in Marin, but right on the water. And there's like,
oh my God,
all these like houses and condos that kind of overhang the bay. And
anyway, she's going away and I get to dog sit her two dogs. So Squeezle and I are going to stay in her like beautiful villa.
Woo.
Big house with a backyard. You can come over. We should have a dinner. We should have like a
party on.
A hang. We should invite some peeps.
Yeah. Is that a
problem? Yeah.
Now that we're announced. All right, everybody, come on over. We're having a party in Tiburon.
Well, we're not 20-year-olds, so we're not going to have a
all the woo crew is invited.
No, I never said that.
No,
never said
that is not true. That was a joke. People, don't take me seriously.
There won't be a rager. We'll just have a dinner. We'll have nice.
A little wine and a little fish.
Yeah. Okay, there's some kind of energy here. I'm gonna go to the records.
They're asking right now. They're like, get in here.
Yeah. Let's take a couple breaths. The two of us. I think there's going to be some info for you, too.
Okay.
Oh, just breathe into the low belly for a moment. Oh, my goodness. Lord, do I need to use new prayer? Should we use the old prayer? Okay, I'm going to use this new prayer. Give me a second. This is another wacky shift that's been happening, is that I'm back on some of these old Akashic Record prayers I used to use before I used the one I currently use, because I could not get them out of my head. But yeah, here we go. Okay. Okay, so I take a couple of breaths. And let's just feel into our feet. And we'll visualize those little spinning foot chakras at the bottom center of each foot. Spinning open and spinning wide. So that the windows of the bottoms of our feet just begin to open, creating a nice open space between the electromagnetic field of you and the electromagnetic field of the earth. And myself and the earth. And we just start to visualize 500 tree roots of light anchoring down and into the planet through the open window of each foot. 500 roots through the left foot and 500 roots of light through the right foot. 1,000 roots in total shooting down into the earth. And as they shoot down, we see everything from our feet to our head becoming a huge tree of conscious light that expands taller and taller, wider and wider, deeper and deeper, left and right, forward and back, upwards into the heavens. And we'll watch as hundreds of thousands of branches grow off the top of this tree, millions of leaves grow off those branches. We understand ourselves to be expansive trees of open, receptive, divine light, rooted to the earth. Divine Mother, Father, all that is, please expand my state of consciousness and move both of us, myself and Cassidy Jamal Brown, into divine alignment with our Akashic Records. I ask that the shields of protection be activated to encircle us both as I move deeply into both of our Akashic Records. With great thanks and clarity, I'm now in the Akashic Records of my soul and Cassidy Jamal Brown's soul. I'm going to run that again a different way in just a second. Oh, my goodness. Divine Mother, Father, all that is, please expand our states of consciousness to move us into divine alignment with our Akashic Records, Cassidy Jamal Brown and myself. I ask that the shields of protection be activated to encircle us both as we move deeply into our Akashic realm. With great thanks and clarity, we are now in the Akashic Records of our souls and of our communal soul, the connection between us. Okay, and so we're calling up in a conscious awareness whatever it is that's creating this heaviness that's causing me to yawn in me and or Cassidy, both of us, each of us. Ooh. And that the root core cause of density here be met with the light of conscious awareness, divine love, divine light, and Akashic blueprinting. And Cass, if you can feel into anything in your body that feels heavy, sad, heavy, tired, exhausted, dissociated, fragmented, sharp, foggy, anywhere at all. And just let me know when you're feeling that.
Uh-huh.
And where is that in the body?
Right now I feel like I'm just sort of really heavy and tight in my thighs, backs of my legs.
Okay, sink into that heaviness. Imagine a line of loving energy, actual love itself, moving from your heart into the backs of your thighs. Another way to say it is like, let's bring your care and nurturance and love into the heaviness in the backs of the thighs. Okay, and all of this that belongs to other people, we're asking that it be sent back to sender, return to sender, return to sender. Return to sender, return to sender, return to sender. All of it that isn't yours, return to sender, return to sender, return to sender. You have open solar plexus, right, Cass? The emotional center is not defined.
Yeah, I forget every time, but I can look very quickly and answer that question.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I have a new phone now, so I don't have that tab.
What centers do you have defined? Because you only have three, right?
Right. I have...
You have the G, I mean the sacral.
I have throat, sacral... It might be solar plexus, that's what I can't remember. Or is it heart?
I think it's spleen.
There we go. Throat. What's the one on the far right there?
That's the emotional center solar plexus.
That is defined.
The sacral. So you have sacral, emotional, and throat?
Correct.
Okay, and what's your authority? Your authority is sacral?
Yes. The solar plexus.
Oh, you have emotional authority.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. Okay, so you're open in the spleen. The triangle to the far left on the bottom is open.
Hmm.
Your root is open. Your G center is open. Your ego's open and your head in Ajna, right?
Correct.
And so what channel is it that you have from the solar plexus to the throat?
Solar plexus to the throat is 3635. For whatever it's worth, my feet just were like, get shoes off, get socks off, now.
They were hot?
They were freaking out, yeah.
So you know you're a manifesting generator?
Yeah.
This whole time I thought you were a generator.
No.
Wow. And you have single definition.
Mm-hmm.
Your incarnation cross has the energy and drive to go and explore the world, but it really isn't just about you. This is the energy that compels you to bring others along for the exploration. This is the force that led us out of the Garden of Eden. This energy also has ties to art and bringing expression to form. This cross can go through a period of sadness as there's not a lot in the world that is not Eden-like. As there is a lot in the world that is not Eden-like. But fear not the drive to lead or share. Your sense of exploration will come through because that is what you're here to do. And then you have the channel of transitoriness. The 3536 is very much about adventure and involving other people in adventure. There's a real, like, been there, done that, what's new, emotionally charged energy. the channel of transitoriness likes to, it draws yourself and others into seeking experience, occasionally by engendering crisis just to get things moving. Through this restless desire to explore the depth and consequence of our capacity to feel, our species matures and evolves, and our gene pool expands, ultimately resulting in progress of the collective. This is learning through experience for the sake of future generations. Interpersonal. For those with the channel of transitoriness, interaction with others means sharing the experience completely with them. Their need for new experience and inherent sense that nothing lasts often makes it difficult for them to maintain intimate relationships. Their partners pay a price if they find themselves dragged along on adventures that are not correct for them. Doing anything for the first time isn't easy. Outcomes are unpredictable, and most people are not equipped to handle the resulting crises. Deeply emotional experiences often have a sexual dimension, but because relating here is focused on the feelings provoked by the experience, rather than on the other person, I'll read that again. Relating here with this channel, relating, is focused on the feelings provoked by the experience rather than on the other person. Both parties can therefore be left with disappointment when the experience is over. When two people connect electromagnetically through this channel, one with gate 35 and one with 36, the balance and stability of the relationship will be constantly subjected to highs and lows. You're driven to seek experiences which promise something new and better in life. Your journey is an emotional one as you gather wisdom experientially, pushed along by the ever-changing perspectives of your unaware solar plexus wave. You can become volatile or feel let down if a new experience fails to meet your expectations. The secret is to embrace and accept your emotional swings, to give yourself time to make emotionally clear decisions, and to surrender to fully living each correct experience for its own sake. Over time and with maturity, experience will culminate as emotional depth within your personal truth, the heart of which is accepting life for what it is. If you find yourself nervous or uneasy about committing to a venture, take advantage of waiting out your wave. Your great accomplishment in life is that you will have tasted, touched, and felt many things from which you gleaned wisdom of great value, wisdom that you make available to others in the form of advice. You inspire people to join your venture with tales of your exploits and sense of fulfillment in the richness of a life well lived. As you learn that feelings are transitory, your advice to others will be to seize the moment and partake of each promising new experience that is correct, rather than living with a sense that nothing in life will ever amount to anything.
Will you read those last two sentences again? I spaced out. I was thinking about what you said, and then I stopped listening.
You inspire people to join your venture with tales of your exploits and sense of fulfillment in the richness of a life well lived. As you learn that feelings are transitory, your advice to others will be to seize the moment and partake of each promising new experience that is correct, rather than live with a sense that nothing in life will amount to anything. All of this happens with a profile that is a 1-3. So you have the insecurity of the first line in your ego or in your personality, your conscious personality is a first line. So it's like always trying to build a foundation of relationship, a foundation of safety, a foundation of understanding reality, a foundation of money, a foundation of anything. It's just trying to take information in to build a foundation of reality. Mm-hmm. And the third line is learning through trial and error, very creative, iterating. And what I'm struck by here is this is a chart of somebody who loves to be alone. Because you have a third line body, and third line bodies like to be alone, and your single definition. So you don't actually need other people to bridge anything for you in order for you to live into your purpose, which I see that with you. You zip around doing your own thing and it works for you. You don't have to like I don't know. You don't need to ride anybody else's bridge and gate in order to get where you're trying to go.
Right.
But it looks like, I'm wondering if these are collective circuits, because you're coming from a world that's so collective and so about other people. But this is a chart of somebody who's really creative, learning through trial and error, and wants and does well on their own.
Interesting. Because, I mean, I crave aloneness, but it's only because I rarely have it. So I don't, when I'm alone for very long, I stop wanting to be alone. But yeah, I'm definitely, I mean, in terms of just, you know, introvert, extrovert, I'm an ambivert in terms of I want connection when I want it, and I don't want it when I don't want it. It's, you know.
That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I want connection and freedom. But it's that thing you said about like seeking foundation and security is kind of at odds with that channel. So because I have to have security, but I'm actually looking for the next thing. I'm always looking for the next adventure actually. And then I feel unstable because then I cling to the thing that I, you know, that looks like security for me. So.
Right. Now, something else about that. There's always tension in everybody's chart, so that sounds right.
Yeah.
Those are the tensions in your chart. That makes sense. But I would just want to point to, you also have open spleen, and the not self theme of the open spleen is out of fear, I'm holding on. And the freedom of the open spleen is I'm free to practice letting go.
Yeah.
And this is a chart that's all about change, transitoriness, charisma, which is about power in the now, very much power in the now. I can read you about this channel. Emotional wave, up and down. It's this, then it's that. Open head and ajna, open root, open ego, open G. This is not a chart of like a lot of like, and now we're settled. And so, but with the open spleen, that could be a pull to like out of fear, I'm holding on. Whereas my channel over here, the 35, 36 is like, let's go to the next adventure. But then the not self of the spleen is like, no, we can't. We're scared. Okay. So, blah, 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 blah. And then the cross of Eden is interesting. The one that you have, the right angle cross of Eden to, let's look at your other, this channel though, the 3420. Let's talk about that for a second. This is a big part of who you are according to this system. The magic of the 34th gate, it is just simply empowering the intuition, empowering that ability to be able to suss out what's going on in the now. It's doing much more than that. It brings its power to the now. This is the driving force of the integration being, the 2034. So what he means by that, these channels right here, the 20, the 10, and the 34, these are called the integration channels. I happen to have all three of these here. They're very much a self-involved set of channels. They're very self-expression oriented. They're very, I have power. This one in particular is about, I have power in the now to do the things I want to do in the way that I want to do them. This is the driving force of the integrating being. And as you know how powerful this force is, because it is one of the definitions that exists in the body graph that is in opposition in the wheel. So it's very, very common to see it. People who have it as their sun, earth, or people who have it nodally. And there are also those beings who just have it from the planets, though it's rare. That's a tangent. The fact is that the 2034 is something that is incredibly common. It's a driving force of survival. And of course you could see that the way in which the not self lives out manifesting, generating, in other words, the not self that is suffering from manifestor disease and meets more resistance than anybody else, then the real power and the glory of the 2034 has long, long passed. I'm going to say that in a simpler way in a second. It might have been a very, very impressive a long time ago, but within the context of the not self as the not self lives today, it's really a mess. And yet to see it for what its pure essence is, to be able to respond through awareness in the now, This responding through awareness in the now is the power that the 34 brings to integration. It's its main responsibility in that sense. So we're looking at two distinct life forces. We're looking at the force of pure survival. He's talking about the two gates, by the way, that make up this channel. Stay alert, stay alert, stay alert. That's the gate coming out of the sacral, because that's what it is. Stay alert, stay alert, ears open, be ready, be aware. Anything can happen at any moment. By the way, that's how I experience you. Like a little fox in nature. I'm awake. I'm here. What's happening? Balloons. Here we are on the verge of the cross of the unexpected. This is what life is at any moment, at any time. This is the power that is inherent in this. And at the moment there's something, there is anything, then you have this incredible power. This is an incredible power. There really isn't anything like it. It's real powered action. You can see why pure manifesting generators have such an ordeal in shaking the manifester trip, because they've been conditioned to think that they have to decide what to respond to mentally. That's a big piece about this channel. And then they put their energy to work, to work to what they think mentally they should be doing, and all they meet is resistance. This is a response mechanism. It is a response mechanism to take action in response. So this is a responding channel. It's why it's so important that the 2034 is as part of their life process. There are those beings in the life force. I'm not going to read that. Anyway, I know this channel pretty well. And so what I would, the simplifying version of this would be to say, it's a power channel. It's very powerful. You have a ton of power. It's also a power in the charisma realm. So you'll have a lot of charisma and power and energy in the now. But it's a tricky one as a manifesting generator, because it'll make you think, it has so much energy to initiate that it'll make you think you are a manifester and that you have to come up with ideas in your head and then go make them happen. And whenever you're doing that, you'll meet with resistance. But if you're using your power in the now that is charismatic in response to people, it'll go well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think. And that's mostly, you know, in the sort of world of my world, I am never wanting to be in charge completely, but I definitely have a lot of power in like executing someone else's vision or supporting what's happening or seeing what's happening and reacting to it and saying, all right, guys, let's do this now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's never like I'm going to have an idea and execute it. It's usually in, I mean, when I feel I'm at my best, it is in that context of responding with power and leading from response, if that makes
mm-hmm.
sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes total sense.
So yeah. I get that. I'm curious, like you got, when we first started to come in, you're like, I know I'm going to have some stuff for you, so let's get in your records.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were immediately like, you got pulled into my human design.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm thinking about this too. Like, so what else? Is that all we needed to get to Cassidy? Yes. Also, whatever was in your legs, we moved it and it's better. How do your legs feel?
I don't know. I'm going to find out when I take a bow tonight, because that's where it was. My bows, this is the weirdest thing, Katie. I've never had this. I couldn't bow because the backs of my legs were like, nope, you're not going to bow. And I, you know, I'm taking a curtain call and I'm like, oh God, I can't do it.
Yep.
And I'm very aware. So I'm curious when I stand up if bowing is going to be a thing. Going to be easier. I wonder. I mean, I could do it right now. Why the fuck not? Let me just stand up. Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Great.
Way easier.
I think that's what all the yawning was. It's all the unconscious energy that was trying to move through. And then we just beat present to it with the light here and it moved. Okay, So I'd like to look at, if we could, I want to look at the 305 and I want to look a little more at the Northwest Mare Island area. Okay, so they're like, there's nothing else to understand about the Northwest area. Just go there with Lisa, do a ceremony, open the records, and everything will activate.
Okay, great.
Do I have to go more than once? Yes. four or five times, twice, three times, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. You'll know when you do it one time, two times, maybe just two times. Okay. Okay. 305. I'd like some more information. It is so visible to me right now. So first piece I'm wondering about is it an indication to me that I am processing things from my time in Miami as a child? Yes. So, but I, for a long time was being shown, because Miami, by the way, the area code of Miami is 305, and I was born and raised in Miami. Let me ask a few more questions. Is it also something to do with my mother? Yes. Is it to do with just processing the pain of having been raised by my mother? No. Okay. Is it about her lifespan? Yes. I keep getting that. Like that somehow all these 305s are about her lifespan. I think I don't want to say too much more about that here, but I'll just say that much. And so why right now am I seeing them everywhere? Is it like, let me see if I can listen. This is a tricky one because my mind and my ego are invested in this being true. So it's hard for me to trust that I'm hearing correctly because it's about me, you know? But what I'm getting when I listen is like, there's a completion cycle happening where I'm working through in my sessions with Lisa and in all the work I'm doing right now, just everything that happened with my mother in Miami. And I think what I want to understand then is what is the difference between the 218 and the 305? Because 218 was showing up for a long time in conjunction with 305. And I realized that 218 is my birth date and that I was being reborn. And they give me a yes on that still. And so is the rebirth is sort of complete. And now the processing of the 305 stuff. Okay. So the difference between the 218 and the 305 is, some of this is going to be pretty hard to put in words, but a short answer is like, the kind of rebirth we're talking of with the 218 is a being born into what you actually are, which is a rebirth away from what you became and back to what you were always meant to be. 305 is all the trauma remaining that contributes to you not living as what you came to be. I think I still don't understand why 305 has to do with my mother. Like, my dad was involved in that period of time. So the first thing is they go, it's not that it has to do with your mother. It's that we're processing everything from your time in Miami, a lot of which was in relation to your mother, more so than your father. Okay. And it's everything else that happened in Miami as well. Okay, and so it's like this. So the sixth line, right? We talk about all the time on here how sixth line has a tripartite life. Wow, that's really cool. And we talk about how the first third of a sixth line's life is trials and tribulations, trauma, difficulty. The second part from 28 to 50 is you're pulled on the roof to process the trauma of 0 to 28. Note 0 to 28 to 18. Wow. Okay. Well, I am tripping out. Okay, then in the third part of life, you come off the roof as the integrated hermit role model, the role model of being yourself. And so as you're approaching that Chiron returns moment at age 50, where you'll be pulled off the roof, you can think of the Chiron return moment as being like you're returned back to the beginning, back to zero. or back to one. In that, when you come off the roof as a six line at age 50, if you've done your work, you are what you were when you were born, post having healed everything that happened between 0 and 28. So it's like being returned to the perfection of what you were intended to be. And they keep showing to me like a zero point, like the point of birth, the moment of birth is a zero point, meaning the correctness of you comes into form. And then in order to live as the correctness of you, as a six line, you have to go through the first 28 and then the second chunk in order to come off the roof and live as the correctness of what you were meant to be. That's just the karmic reality of a six line. Okay, that brings me to a question for my sake and for any six lines listening. How are we to make sense of, like, that feels like a whole lot of shit? Like, why not just, if you wanted the perfected form of a whatever this being is supposed to be, why not just let me be that instead of like all this fucking trauma and then work about it? Like, what's the point of the fucking journey? So this is a karmic completion lifetime. You're tying up loose ends. You're completing karma. It's not up to you. This is what you were ready for at this time. It's what's happening. It's what was required for the next initiation that comes after this one. Some value would be gained in sitting with the righteous indignation and self-pity that comes up for you sometimes around how hard it's been. Such is the nature of the karmic six-line life. Be grateful. Because when you come off the roof at 50, you have so much to offer, and you will be asked to offer it quite regularly. Just keep digging, just keep working. Be grateful for the karma of your life, because if you work with it, and as you work with it, and when you work with it, man, you're brought into such deep embodied alignment with source consciousness that nothing could beat it. Would you rather it take a long time, but that you become God in form, or that it be quick and you not? These are the options before you. Of course, in one sense, everyone is God in form, but you will be a teacher of, they say, it's like divine magnitude and majesty, because the energy emanating from your being, from having done the work you will have done by then, is quite a gift to the rest of the people who need it from you. So practice gratitude and continue to process where you are resentful of your own path. Remember, to a certain degree, you chose this. You chose to incarnate. You chose to walk the karmic wheel. You have the opportunity to leave the karmic wheel for good, should you choose to keep walking. And we know you would prefer that. Would you not? I would. And so it is. Okay, I have one more question. What has all of this heaviness been about from, I'd say, something somewhere between Beacon, midway through Beacon into Florida and up till now? There it's like I left, I don't know how to explain it. It's like I was less connected to spirit in a way, and more like heavy, dense something. Well, so we needed you on the East Coast to bring you down several notches in vibrational frequency so that you could confront where you were heaviest in your humanity, so that the light could penetrate into the three-dimensional form of you. You knew this already. I did know that. That's true. And now the task is, you know, you've understood what you read when you were 9 or 11 or 12, which was the Jungian concept of integration. Integration means, at its deepest level, body becomes spirit, spirit becomes body, which of course has to enter through the heart, which is the portal of the emotional center or the emotional process for a human being. And in your case, is the center of giving a shit, you could say, about spirit. So integration is all parts of the body being become activated by the light, and the body, 3D body, becomes a vehicle for transmission of said light all the time. This is quite an elevated state to live in. Don't take it lightly or minimize its value. We understand that part of what you struggle with is how infrequent it is to run into useful reflections of what you are. You feel regularly alone and isolated in the weird, unique experience of your existence. Yes, I do. And when you're doing well, you understand you have an opportunity to bring something quite unique to this planet. True. And so it's the concept you know quite well that says, when you're really, really good with what you are, you will have no fear of the judgment of other people's perceptions of what you are. And so these 3 years between 47 and 50 for you, you will confront the deepest parts of your self-judgment, the parts that live in the muscles and the organs and the spine in a very three-dimensional physical way. You've confronted these on so many levels, and now you confront them physically. You know this as well. There is so much you know that you then close off your access to your own awareness of what you know by judging it, because it is different and it doesn't fit in. And yet, ironically, and of course perfectly, you teach this concept quite well, because the deepest parts of you are united with us, and in so being, they understand belonging is not exactly the point. You are like a comet that comes to Earth to have an impact. Oof, man, there is a strong transmission happening. Thank you for being with me and holding space here, Cassidy, and anybody listening. I couldn't do this without you guys. I've tried to ask these questions on my own and it wasn't happening. But there's something about us doing this together and the timing. Understand as well, there is something spiritually significant about the passing of your birth mother, or the beginning stages of the passing, or wherever that process is. We keep your awareness somewhat vague as to the details of that situation so that you don't, because, you know, certain pieces of information would corrupt your mind in a way that would not actually be useful. However, we will say this, make no bones about it. There will be a kind of profound liberation for you as the body and the spirit of that individual separate. But like everything else in this incarnation for you, this lifetime, you can't force it. You can't make it happen faster or slower. It will happen when it happens. Lucky for you, you pay attention, you listen, and you ask questions. But you do fall under the delusional fantasy that you can, because you pay attention and ask questions, that you could have a control over the outcome. That's funny. That's true. Okay. Cassidy, do you have any questions? They're like, now's a good time for Cassidy to ask anything.
Do I have any questions?
It's okay if you don't.
I don't think I do.
Okay, let me see. All right. All right, we're going to close the records then.
Okay.
Let me find the right one. Thank you. Nope. Thank you, dear beings of light, for the unconditional love, wisdom, and information and the healing I've received today, that we both have received today. Please help us both return fully to our complete human wholeness in all dimensions, times, and planes. Please help me to integrate the information and healing received with ease and grace. I ask that you close and lock the record of Cassidy Jamal Brown and myself. And so it is. Amen, amen, amen. Okay. Wow. Well, we're back in woo-woo business.
Jesus. One of the reasons I couldn't think of any questions is because I was aggressively sleepy. Like, go to sleep. I was like,
yeah,
I'm on the podcast. Give me a second. It came on during that transmission. It was like, whew.
Yeah. All right. Well, nap time fighting. Ready now?
Yeah, I wish. Maybe. I got fucking errands to run and I got a show tonight. Woohoo!
Yay! You probably won't need it as much once we're not talking.
No, I think I was getting some fields like flowing through me. I was kind of getting bandied about a little bit.
Well, what happens with light like that is it illuminates everything in you that is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And when it hits up against something that you don't want to know about or you're not quite ready to know about consciously, it puts you to sleep.
Yep. That's the same as when I was in therapy. It was happening a lot in therapy.
That makes sense.
Therapist was like, you don't want to deal with that right now, do you?
Yeah, right.
Yep.
I am going to, by the way, get confirmation. I want to just have Lisa and I use you as our next guinea pig for the two-person. We talked about this before.
I would
love
to do that.
I'm going to get confirmation, and then I'll send you some dates and times.
Great.
We'll see.
Let's get that on the books. I would love to. And I got new developments to share with you on that.
Oh, good.
Topic, so
good.
Yeah, just interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Things to feel into. All right.
I love you.
I love you to pieces. Do all the work and talk to you soon. And I'll see you Sunday.
Oh, I lost you, I think.
And you froze up. So I'm going to just say goodnight. Do your work.
Are you asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
But my observation of why people are so fixated on their butts.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.